We are going to return to our discipleship series tonight. So if you got your Bibles, if you would, stand with me tonight for the reading of the Word of the Lord. We have really had some church in this church the last month. Amen. I tell you, we have seen some moves of God in this place in the last month. How many want to continue that? Amen. I want to continue that. I want to see the Lord continue to move and transform, amen, and change people's lives. Amen. And if we continue to sow, we'll continue to reap. Can you say amen? Amen. If we continue to sow, we will continue to reap. I want to turn your attention tonight to one short verse of Scripture written by what the Bible describes as the wisest man to ever live upon the face of the earth, King Solomon. How many know if the Word of God describes you as the wisest man to ever live upon the face of the earth, you might have something worth listening to? Amen. So we're gonna take some advice from King Solomon tonight. Proverbs, the 29th chapter. Proverbs, the 29th chapter. We're going to be reading one verse of Scripture, verse 18. Say amen when you get there. If you do not have your Bibles, the words are provided for you upon the screen behind me. I want to welcome all of our Facebook family, all of those that are tuning in with us live tonight. We love you. And we appreciate you. We're praying for you. We hope to see you in the house of the Lord soon. We're going to continue to pray that the Lord will fix all of this mess. How many know God can do it? Praise God, He can do it. Amen. And we're depending on Him to do it. Proverbs, the 29th chapter, verse 18. The word of the Lord says, where there is no vision, amen, the people perish. I'm going to say that one more time. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Man, I'm telling you, it's amazing what you can dissect from one small verse of Scripture. Amen. As we read this text tonight, and I was just reading up on some of the translations right before we came into service, and I was looking in the, Lord bless you, you may be seated. Tonight we're gonna get back on our discipleship series. I want to title this evening's portion of this series, Will the People Perish? Will the people perish? Amen. We're reading out of the book of Psalms, the 29th chapter and the 18th verse, and we see that the Bible tells us very plainly that where there is no vision, the people will perish. And as I was looking to the text tonight, and as I was looking up some of the translation of the text, I was looking up the Hebrew word for vision, and the word vision comes from an old Hebrew word meaning revelation. Amen. So when the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish, you could literally be saying in the old Hebrew text, where there is no revelation, where there is no understanding, where there is no vision of the purpose of the church and the plan of the church, the people will perish. Now, I also looked up the word perish in the old Hebrew text, and the word perish comes from a Hebrew word which I found was very interesting, which means to loosen. To loosen. To let go, to go back, to undo, or to uncover. All right? So where there is no revelation, the people will let their guard down. Or the people will go back to what God brought them out of. Where there is no vision or revelation of what the purpose of the church truly is for, the people's going to go right back to where they came from. All right? In layman's terms tonight, there is a danger, and I want you to get this deep down in your spirit tonight. There's a danger that the people who have an encounter with God face. First of all, one of two things is going to happen when you have an encounter with God. All right, one of two things is going to happen. Number one, either you're going to be like Jacob when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. When he had an encounter with God, he reached out and he grabbed a hold of something. So either you're going to be like Jacob was and you're going to reach out and you're going to grab a hold of the culture of the church and you're going to establish the vision and take part in the vision of the church, or you're going to perish. You're going to let down. You're going to loosen what God has placed in your life. You're going to go back to what God has brought you out of. That's what the Bible is trying to explain to us. I don't know about you, but I choose the first part. I want to get a hold of the Lord. I want to get a hold of the church culture. I want to see the vision that God has given this place, and I want that vision to be a part of my life. Amen. Because listen, if we don't get a hold of this church culture, if we don't get a hold of this vision that God has placed in our lives, then we're going to loosen on some things. All right? And when you loosen on some things and you let down on some things, you begin to go backwards. All right? I mean, no, if you ain't moving forward, you're going backwards. And idle mind is the devil's workshop, and idle souls is the devil's workshop. If you're not moving for the Lord, all right, you're going to go backwards. That's just the way it is, okay? So where there's no vision, where there's no revelation of the purpose of the church to reach the world that we live in, that's the purpose of the church, all right? Where there's no vision to reach lost people, where there's no revelation of the purpose of the church, the people are going to let down and the people are going to go back. And there's one of two things that are going to happen. Either we're going to get a hold of the culture of the church or we're going to go backwards. And there is no respect of person in that. That applies to the children in the nursery, and that applies to the pastor. All right? If I don't get a hold of the culture that God is trying to establish in this church, the unity, the love of God, trying to bring people together, if I don't get a hold of that in my life, I'm going to lose my way, Brother Brad. I'm going to lose my way. I'm going to go back. All right? So there is no respect of person in that. You're either going to be like Jacob who wrestled with the angel of the Lord. You're going to grab a hold of the culture of the church. You're going to embrace the vision of the church, or you will perish. Solomon plainly told us, where there is no vision, the people perish. Okay? So we see we got to get a hold of something like Jacob did. All right? Jacob could have left that night empty-handed after his encounter with God. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. I've had people ask me, BBA has been a church now for 3 years last month in November, and I've had people ask me several times, what is the vision of this church? All right, so let's write the vision tonight. Let's make it plain. That's what the Bible says to do, right? Write the vision and make it plain. Our vision is to empower our community. Our vision is to empower our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ while embracing the boundaries that God puts in our lives. All right? So we can't just get a hold of God and say, Lord, I love you and I want to get a hold of you, but I don't want to do anything that you tell me to do. All right? I don't want to let go of anything that you tell me to let go of. I don't want to change who I am. Listen, that doesn't work. One profound principle that we need to understand tonight that happened on the night that Jacob got a hold of the angel of the Lord is his hip was thrown out of place, and he forever walked with a limp after that night that he wrestled with the Lord. His life was forever changed. Jacob was never the same man after his encounter with God. Now, that tells you and I that when we have an encounter with God, it should change who we are. All right? It should change who we are. So we need to strive to be more like Christ, okay? So our vision, the vision of Breaking Bread Apostolic Church is to empower our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ while embracing the change or the boundaries that God puts in our lives, all right? It's important. Listen, we're gonna talk a little bit deeper about this tonight, but it's not enough, church, just to know the truth. You must learn to protect the truth. How many know that there's been many people that's run into truth? There's been many people that have experienced truth. There's been many people who have seen the truth, but they never protected the truth. And let me tell you something. If you think the devil won't come in your life and take the truth out of your life, let me tell you something. He'll take anything that you're willing to surrender to him. All right? So we can't just learn the truth. We must embrace the truth, and we must be willing to learn to protect the truth. Now, there are many churches that do not believe in boundaries. Okay? But I said in the service on Sunday, if a church is not challenging you, a church is not helping you. If a church is not pushing you to do better or to be more or to be more like Christ, that church is not helping you. All right? It's not helping you. I want the Lord to nudge me. I want the Word of God to direct me. I want the, if I start getting off of the beaten path and the highway of holiness, I want the Holy Ghost to take the rod of correction. Whoa, 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 boy. Get right back over here where you belong, all right? Because a church that's not challenging you and a church that's not challenging me, listen, I've had the pleasure, I've had the benefit of rubbing shoulders with what I conceive to be some of the greatest preachers in Pentecost, all right? So I don't consider myself to be a good speaker by any stretch of imagination, but I have rubbed shoulders with some of the guys that I consider to be the best. And listen, I feel challenged by the Word of God that they preach. And I want you as the church, as Breaking Bread Apostolic Church, I want you to feel challenged. I want you to feel nudged. I want you to feel guided by the Holy Ghost in this church. So we must learn to embrace the boundaries that God places in our lives, okay? So many people don't believe in boundaries. Many people think that, well, all you got to do is believe in God, or all you got to do is receive the Lord, or all you got, there's no change. Listen, we reject that teaching. We stand against that teaching tonight, all right? Because God does expect us to submit to him. And God does expect us to give ourselves to the work of the Lord, all right? So we stand against that teaching tonight. We must embrace the boundaries that God sets in our lives, and we must learn to protect the truth. Now, boundaries, and I want you to really get a hold of this. Boundaries actually empower a movement. Now, okay, so look at the banks of a river. Okay, just in your mind and vision, we're a pretty good ways from a river here, but think on White River, okay, which is probably the Blue River, is probably the closest river here in Shelby County, all right? Think on the banks of a river. The banks of a river harness the power of the river. Let that sink in for a second. If you take away, a few years ago, we had a men's church fishing trip, and we went down to a place in Tennessee to do some crappie fishing. How many was on that trip? Was it people in here on it? Dad was on that trip. I think Carl, Ken was, Mikey was on that trip. But we went down to a place in Tennessee where the Mississippi had one of the banks of the Mississippi had broken. All right. And it just literally just flooded this large area that is now a lake that people fish. It is a very shallow, stumpy, snake-infested place to fish. But the crappie fishing is good if you go at the right time of year. All right? So when you think on the banks of a river, they harness the power of the river itself. All right? When it is kept within its boundaries, all right, without those banks, that river will become a swamp. It'll become something shallow, something that spreads out all over the place, something that draws anything and everything, bugs. It'll look, that water down there, it stank. It stank because it was stagnant. It was just sitting there. It was shallow, nasty water, okay? Without the banks of a river to harness the power of the river and to keep it channeled in the right direction, that river will just become a swamp. It's the same way with the church. It's the same way with your walk with God. If you don't allow the Holy Ghost to harness, come on, you don't allow the boundaries that God places in your life to harness the power of God in your life's just going to become some old murky, stinky swamp that is going to snatch a hold of any ideology or any thinking or any brainstorming that tends to just float along, right? Come on, so the banks of a river actually harness the energy and the power of the river. Listen, you don't go whitewater rafting on a lake, right? Well, we messed up one time and tried to go canoeing, and the water was up too bad. So we was out at Brookville Lake, and we was trying to hit the whitewater canoeing area out there. And, man, we got out there, and the river was raging. And somebody came up with the bright idea, and I'll tell you, it wasn't me. But I'm all for majority. So somebody come up with a bright idea. Well, let's just take our canoes and go get in the lake. Man, that was a, we went to paddling around that lake. And you talking about, listen, I was missing the power and the current of the river. Because we just paddling out in this lake hours and hours, and it was raised, and it just wasn't a good time, all right? You don't go whitewater rafting in a lake, all right? You take advantage of the power of the river. The church must maintain its boundaries. The church must allow the boundaries that God sets in our lives to harness the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. If we don't, the church is going to lose its power, and we're going to give way to every impulse, every thought, every brainstorm, everything that floats along. Come on. The Bible talks about not being tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine, right? We got to allow the boundaries that God places in our life to harness the power of the Holy Ghost. And if we do that, the church and the Spirit of Spirit of God in the church will be an unstoppable force. All right, it'll be an unstoppable force. Listen, it's kind of like this. The late T.F. Tenney used to say all the time, I don't know if any of y'all ever listened to him preach or not, but the late T.F. Tenney, he used to say all the time, he'd say, the main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. All right? In other words, keep it simple. Listen to what God says. If God says don't do it, then you need to stop doing it. If God says draw a line right here and don't cross that line, don't cross that line. All right, allow the boundaries that God places in our lives to harness the power of the Holy Ghost. And we got to learn to keep the main thing, because that's the main thing. All right, in the words of T.F. Tenney, the main thing is for the church is getting to heaven and creating disciples that will make it to heaven. All right. There's a reason why Jesus called those men that walked with him disciples. He didn't call them churchgoers. He didn't call them Christians. He called them his disciples. All right, and we're talking about discipleship tonight. And the main thing in the church is getting to heaven and creating disciples that will make it to heaven also. Listen, anyone that knows me knows that I don't give up on people easily. There are people in this church. I've been after you for years. Okay, Bo. there are people in this church. They'll tell you I don't give up on people easily. All right. If I feel the Lord has called you or the Lord has got a plan for you, I'm going to continue to reach for you because I believe that's what God does. All right. But I am going to say this. If I got to beg you to come to church tonight, I'll have to beg you to come to church tomorrow. But if I turn you into a disciple and I put the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life, you're going to have your own desire to go to church, and ain't nobody going to have to beg you to go to church, because the Spirit of God is going to say, rise up and go to the house of the Lord, right? So our goal is not to create churchgoers. Our goal is to create disciples that share the same passion, to share the same vision, and that's to make heaven our home and to take as many people out of this world with us as we can. But listen, folks, without a vision, without taking part of the vision, without grasping a hold of the church culture and making this a way of life for you, you're going to let go. You're going to let down. You're going to go back. That's what Solomon said, all right? You're going to loosen on some things. You're going to say, this boundary is restricting me too much. Huh? Come on. But if the Lord says, I put this here for a reason, it's got to be there. It's harnessing the power of the Holy Ghost in your life to keep you moving in the right direction and keeping your life from becoming a swamp, okay? So we must create disciples. That is the vision of this church. Not churchgoers. Our goal is not to fill this church with a bunch of people that's not going to make it to heaven. Our goal is to get people in this church, put the gospel of Jesus Christ in their life, let them take part in this vision and in this church culture and get a hold of this thing so they want to make heaven their home for themselves and they want to take everybody that they know with them. All right? We talk about all the time in this church professional Pentecostals. All right? I believe there's going to be a whole bunch of professional Pentecostals in hell. People that ain't concerned about souls, they don't serve the same God that I serve. People that ain't concerned about the lost, they don't got the same Holy Ghost that I got. All right? Because it keeps me up at night. It keeps me up at night. It wears on me to think about people that are not getting a hold of the culture of the church. They're letting down on some things, and the devil is constantly pulling back on them. All right? We got to learn to love God's people, church. We got to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. It must be the vision of this church. The vision of this church must be to create disciples. That's why Joe goes and meets a young man halfway across the city to sit down and have a Bible study with him on his off night and takes his time away from his wife and his little boy. That's why Brother Carl comes over here on Thursday nights to sit down and have Bible studies with people. Because the culture of this church must go beyond Tuesdays and Sundays. The culture of this church must go beyond these four walls. And the people that are sitting here right now, we got to have a love for lost people. And that must be the culture of this church tonight. All right? And where there is no vision, where there's no revelation of what the church is truly designed to be, Jesus called his followers disciples. He walked with them everywhere they went. And they talked all along the way, and he instilled things in them. All right, and they received it, and they got a hold of it, and they grasped it like Jacob did the angel of the Lord that night. All right, and they got a hold of the culture that he was teaching them. All right, listen, if we got to beg someone to go to church tonight, you'll have to beg them to go to church tomorrow. But if you create a disciple out of them, they're going to have their own desire and their own passion to go to the house of God. All right, but listen, we got to stick with them. We got to stick with them. We got to love them. We got to help them. We got to teach them. Okay? It's just like a baby, that little baby that Brad is holding back there in the back of the church. All right? Listen, you don't just have a baby and just take it and set it down and say, there you go, figure life out on your own. No, you nurture it. You teach it. You train it. You hold its hand while it tries to walk, and when it falls down, you pick it up and you wipe its knees off and you say, it's going to be okay. We're going to do better next time. That's what we do, all right? We got to teach. We got to train. We got to instill the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we got to make this vision plain to people, and we got to help them get a hold of this vision. Listen, if that happens, the people will get a hold of the vision. But without the vision, without people getting a hold of the vision, they're going to perish. It's like this. It's like an airplane pilot. Listen, it is possible to have a healthy church that has some very high moments in God, but not be going nowhere. I want y'all to understand that tonight. We can have some barn burners in this place. We can have some moves of God and not really be going nowhere. It's like this. If you got an airplane pilot, and you know we fly every now and then, but if you got an airplane pilot and he gets over the intercom and he says, well, I got some good news. We got a good tailwind tonight and the plane's pushing right along at 30,000 feet in the air. But I got some bad news. We've lost all of our instruments and we don't know where we're going. You might be soaring 30,000 feet in the air, but you don't have a clue where you're going. I come to tell you tonight, we need to establish a culture in this church that we're going to reach down in the pits of hell and pick some people out of that place and set their foot on a solid rock to stay. That's what we're going to do. We're going to establish a church culture that plucks people out of their sin and sets them up on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, we can soar to heights and not really be going nowhere, church. We need to have a vision. We got to share the same vision, the same burden. This church has to be caught up in the river of the Spirit of God, and it's got to be going somewhere. All right? I need you to join in on this vision with me. I need you to join in on this burden with me that we are going to reach our community. We are going to empower people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to teach them that the boundaries that God puts in their lives are put there to harness the power of God in their life. Hallelujah. Listen, when Moses drew that line in the sand that day, when the Lord told him, he said, listen, Moses, I put you over these people. You draw the line and you tell them where the mountain ends and where the mountain begins. And you tell them don't cross that line. Huh? Come on, listen. When God says, right here it is, you stay within this. Come on, when a husband and a wife, look, when you marry, when you join in holy matrimony, and you say, till death do us part, you're establishing a boundary in your life. You're saying there is a proverbial line that we are drawing right here. And I'm going to stay within that line. I'm not going outside the confines of this marriage or this unity. Right? It's the same way with God. We are his bride. He's the bridegroom. We're married to him. There are boundaries in our lives that if we stay within those, God will harness the power of God with those boundaries, and he'll keep us on the move. All right? So we can literally be soaring in high places and not really going anywhere. Church, that's a dangerous false perception. All right? Listen, I love a good move of God. I love a good Sunday barn burner in this house. I love to see people running and jumping and shouting and crying at altar. I love it. I live for it. Every Sunday morning, I get up out of bed with so much anticipation coming to this place because I can't wait to see what God's going to do. But listen to me. Soaring at those high places don't mean you're going somewhere. You got to allow God to harness the power of God in your life with some boundaries and keep you on the right direction. Now, so let me tell you where we're going. The mission of this church, the goal of this church is to empower our community and embrace the boundaries that God has placed in our lives. Listen, we're going to create disciples that are going to last. How many have ever set out to do something and you failed miserably at it? It don't feel too good, does it? It don't feel too good. Man, I'm telling you what, becoming a pastor was one of the hardest things in my life because everybody I invested myself in, when they would turn around and they'd walk away and they wouldn't walk with the Lord no longer, I felt like a failure. Listen, we got to break that same old mindset. We got to develop a church culture in this place that says we're going to reach people, we're going to stay with people, we're going to train people, we're going to teach them how to walk godly in Christ Jesus, and we're going to teach them how to embrace the boundaries that God sets in their life. All right? That's what we got to do tonight. Amen. So the mission of this church, the goal of this church, to empower our community, embrace the boundaries that God has set for us. Listen, we need to create disciples that are going to make it. We need to create disciples that will put God first. I don't mean to sound harsh to you tonight, but God ain't going to settle for second. He's not going to settle for last. He's a jealous God, the Bible says. He said, I have no other gods before me. All right? Either he's going to be first or it ain't going to be none. You're either going to be hot or you're going to be cold, or if you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of his mouth, all right? So we must embrace what God puts in our life, okay? We're looking to create a church. We're looking to create disciples, amen. We're not looking to create churchgoers that are going to miss heaven. We're looking to create disciples. We're looking to instill things into people that's going to change their life, all right? We're looking to grab a hold of a church culture, amen, and the vision and the passion of this church. You can put 150 churchgoers in this building. It'll look good on the surface. It'll look good to the evangelist that comes in, all right? You put 150 in here and they're standing room only. He's going to be like, oh, man, this church is on fire. I feel like preaching today. All the while, he don't realize that the church really is not on the move, all right? Because we'll accomplish way more with 50 disciples than we'll ever accomplish with 150 churchgoers. We need people that are on fire for God. We need people that are passionate about their walk with God. We need people that want to get a hold of change and get a hold of the church culture and the vision and the passion of the church. All right? Listen, we're looking to create disciples that will share the same burden, the same passion, the same goal. Pulling people out of the clutches of Satan, teaching them the plan of salvation. Repent, be baptized, and be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost like the Bible says. That's what we're looking to do. We're looking to instill these things in God's people, and we're looking to teach them to stick it out. One of my favorite Bible studies to teach is strategies for staying in the church. Because that's where we lose a lot of people. It's where we lose a lot of people. People can't figure out how to really get a hold of this thing. Well, you got to grab it. You got to get a hold of it like Jacob did. You got to make up your mind you're not going to let it get away from you. All right? And your life will be forever changed, just like Jacob's life was forever changed. We got to teach them to stick it out. We got to teach them to lay aside every weight that holds them back from being closer to God. Church, listen, if it's keeping you from God, you must lay it down. If it's keeping you from getting closer to God, you got to figure out a way to get rid of it. All right? If it's keeping you from God, God didn't put it there. All right? We got to figure out a way to get rid of it. Okay? The power of God unto salvation is, listen, and I want you to understand this, and I know I'm talking a little bit about boundaries, but the power of God unto salvation is not the result of consecration. All right? My wife is the most beautiful thing in this church. All right? You see that little checkered dress she's got on there, man? That's, well, I'm glad I married her. She is smoking. But listen, listen, she looks pretty. She's got a dress on. She's got her hair up in a bun. She looks like somebody who goes to church. Let me tell you something, that don't save her. That's called consecration. That's called living a life that is separate from the world that you live in. All right? The power of God unto salvation is not the result of consecration. So she is not saved because she put a dress on to come to church tonight. All right? Now, the power of God is the result of faith. It's faith that moves mountains. All right? Listen, we're saved, the Bible says, by grace through faith. Okay? So it's our faith in God and His grace that saves us, but the way we live is the result of being saved by His grace. The Apostle Paul put it like this. He said, "Show me your faith, and I will show you my faith by my works." What he was saying was, I'm not saved by my works, but that don't mean that there's not a necessity for works. All right? Listen, that does not take away, that does not make works irrelevant. They are still important. That don't take away the necessity of consecration. All right? So when the Lord is gracious enough to save you, to pull you out of sin, you owe it to Him to live godly in Christ Jesus. All right? But you know why? Because don't nobody want to hear the gospel, hear how to live right by a drunkard. Come on. I'm being honest with you. Don't nobody want you talking to them about the Bible while you're blowing cigarette smoke or wacky backy in their face. All right? Or spearmints just coming out of your mouth from the chew that's in your mouth. Listen, they want to know that you got works in your life. They want to know that the power of God got a hold of you and the result was consecration. All right? So we're not saved by these things. We're not saved by our works. It is the result. Our works are the result of God saving us. All right? So we clean up our act. We do our best to live godly. So we're going to make some mistakes here and there. We're going to fall down. We got to pick ourselves up. We got to move on. We got to try to do better. All right? So we're not saved by consecration. Consecration is the result of being saved by grace through faith. So when Paul said, "Show me your faith and I'll show you my works by my faith," he was saying, I will show you how when God saved me, He picked me up and He turned me around and He made me into a different person and He changed everything about me. All right? So we're not saved by our works or our consecration, but that doesn't eliminate the need for consecration. I believe we need to live a consecrated life. I believe we need to be holy because He is holy. All right, and I believe we need to do our best to live righteously and to live modestly and to walk uprightly before God. So it doesn't eliminate the need for boundaries in our life. We want the church to be a river and not a swamp. I want everybody under the sound of my voice to be empowered, to be emboldened. Come on, to have strength and be strong. But for that to happen, you're going to have to allow God to place some boundaries in your life. Look, you ever notice how when you take a power washer or anything like that, if you take a steady stream of something and you condense it down, and then you condense it down again, as long as the pressure there is there, man, it magnifies that thing. Huh? I remember one time I took a power washer, I was messing around up the house, man, I messed up my concrete because the water coming out of the end of that power washer had so much force. Let me tell you something, it was destroying stuff. That's what the Holy Ghost will do in your life. If you allow God to put some boundaries in your life, those boundaries will harness the power of God, and it'll cut some stuff out of your life that shouldn't be there. And before you know, you'll be living godly in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the Lord will bless you, and you'll never look back. As long as you got a hold of the vision, as long as you got a hold of the culture of the church, this has to become a lifestyle. This has to be sown into your very being. All right, this ain't a Tuesday and a Sunday deal, folks. Come on, this is the power of God unto salvation. All right, we're talking about discipleship and will the people perish. The power, listen, the faith in God will move mountains. We're saved by grace through faith. All right, even though we're saved by faith, does not eliminate the need for consecration. All right? God expects us to be consecrated. All right? And we don't have time to go into it tonight, but just look at the garments of the high priest. All right? Look at the garments of the high priest. When those children of Israel came out of Egypt, the pagan worship that they were a part of in that land, all right, all of that nudity, all of that drunkenness, all of that craziness and markings and all the stuff they were doing in those pagan religions. Look, when the Lord brought the children of Israel out of there, he said, I'm going to give you something that is so contrary to the pagan priests that you were worshiping with over there, you're going to know it's totally different than what you were doing over there. Come on. This is why we teach boundaries. This is why we teach a life of consecration. Because the world needs to see the power of God can change us. All right, it can change us. And we got to learn to embrace and to harness and to embrace those boundaries that will harness the power of God in our lives. Okay? Listen, there has been far too many saints of God that has come into the house of God and heard some of the most powerful and some of the most dynamic preaching and sermons that you could ever imagine in your life. How many has ever been just utterly jerked out of your seat by the preaching of the gospel? Man, I've had times I sit back there just trembling and shaking and couldn't wait for them to just say, come on up to these altars, because the Holy Ghost had a hold of me so strong. I've literally felt like somebody was pulling me out of my seat. There has been far too many people that have sat under that kind of anointed preaching that run to the front of a church and fall down at an altar with good intentions in their heart. Good intentions in their heart that they're going to change their life. And they're going to take the gospel to the people that they love and they're going to change their lives. But guess what? They get up and nothing happens. There's been far too many messages preached with that kind of result. Church, listen. You know why? You know why they let down? You know why they let go? You know why they perished? Because they didn't get a hold of the culture of the church. They didn't get a hold of the vision of the church. They didn't embrace the boundaries that God set in their lives. All right? Listen, we got to break that. We got to break that. We got to be with them. We got to stay with them. We got to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to teach them the church culture with love. We got to embrace them and have them embrace the church. Come on. We got to create disciples. This is the true mission of the church, not churchgoers. We got to create disciples. We got to create people that will wrestle with the Lord and say, I'm not letting go until you bless me. I'm not letting go until you bless me. You got to get a hold of this thing, okay? They never get a hold of the vision of the church. And without a vision, without a revelation, without understanding the true purpose of the church is to create disciples, they're going to perish. How many people have we failed? How many people have fell down at these altars with good intentions and a broken heart that got up and walked away and nobody discipled them? Nobody taught them. Nobody embraced them. And they fell. They lost their way. They went right back to the very thing that preaching jerked them out of. They went right back to it because they never had a vision cast in their life. Never had nobody offer to teach them a Bible study. They never had a friend to call them and say, hey, are you doing okay? I'm praying for you. I love you. I'm here for you. I'm on your side. You're going to make it. We're going to make it together. How many people have we failed like that? I dare to think about in 3 years the people we have watched come through these doors and those doors over on 31 that are not with us today. I cringe at that thought. You know why? Because they didn't get a hold of a church culture. They didn't get a hold of a vision. We got to write this vision and we got to make it plain. People need to understand we're trying to create disciples. We're not trying to create churchgoers. We're trying to create people that got a burden to serve God, a burning desire to serve God. Amen. They never become a part of the church culture. They never embraced it. They never got embraced. They never got a hold of the vision of the church. And without a vision, Solomon said, the people are going to perish. The people are going to perish. Will the people perish? Or will God's people do right by them and embrace them and love them and teach them and disciple them and create disciples out of them? Church, listen. Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he said, the Lord is long-suffering to usward. That's what he said. The Lord is not slack. The Lord is long-suffering to usward. All right? Not willing that any should perish or go back or let down, but that all would come to repentance. But that all would come to repentance. All right, it is your Christ-given mission to go make disciples. Not just attend church on Tuesdays and on Sundays, but get a hold of somebody. Get in their life. Love them through what they're going through. Show them that the Lord is a friend that will stick closer than any brother. My God, listen, there are people in this church to me that are as close as my own natural brothers are. I told a young man in this church last week, I said, brother, I said, listen to me, you have found yourself a family. You don't understand what these people will be to you. They will be a strength to you when your own family will let you down. That's the kind of culture we got to have in this church. That's the kind of culture we got to have in this church today. Listen, it's my hope that every member of this congregation, every member of BBA will walk into every single room with the attitude, there they are. There they are. That's going to be a child of God right there. The Lord's going to open the door. I'm going to minister to them. Not here I am. Here I've arrived. Here I am. I'm holier than thou. No, we need to walk into a room and say, there they are. There's a future child of God. That man right there, he's going to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. That woman right there, she's coming off of those drugs because I'm going to love her and train her and teach her to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Come on, we should never walk into a room and say, here I am. We should walk into a room and say, there they are. Those are going to be children of God. The Holy Ghost that's in me is going to lead me to them, and he's going to open a door, and they're going to be saved by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is my hope for every member of this church, that every door you walk through, you will see people as souls. I told a young man, one of the young preachers in this church not long ago, I said, listen, I know you get discouraged when you see people do things they shouldn't do. But if you will just look at people as souls and not just people, that people make mistakes. If you look at them as souls that you are trying to get to heaven, you will be much more likely and much more apt to be able to work with them. I want everybody in this church to walk into every room they walk into and see a group of souls that are going to go one or two places. They're even going to go to heaven and be with the Lord, or they're going to die and they're going to go to a devil's hell. And that power to get those folks changed is within your reach. It's within your reach. You can disciple them. You can put the gospel of Jesus Christ in them. Listen, it's my hope that we will turn sinners into friends and friends into saints. Come on. Because you ain't going to go straight from the saint to the sinner, folks. I'm sorry to tell you. You're going to have to take a sinner, and you're going to have to befriend them. You're going to have to show them the love of God. And you're going to have to show them that you're different than everybody else is. And then that sinner can become a friend, and that friend can become a saint. Come on. Go make disciples. This is the broad vision. This is the vision that Jesus gave to his disciples. Go do what I did with you. Go create disciples. Walk with them. Talk with them. Come on. Look at all the things the Lord did with those disciples, man. He walked in there and raised up Peter's mother-in-law. Huh? Come on. He taught them the way. And we got to teach people the way. We got to go make disciples. Stand with me as the musicians come. I know I went over just a few moments tonight, but I get excited thinking about creating disciples and seeing people pulled out of the clutches of hell, out of the clutches of Satan. As the musicians come quickly, a vision is, simply put, a vision is a compelling picture of the future. I want everybody in this room, in your mind, to develop a picture, and not just any picture, but a compelling picture of what you want this church to look like in 6 months. Something that will drive you to action. I want you to envision the people that you love sitting next to you in that row. I want you to envision that neighbor that you got that's bound by something that breaks your heart every time you see it. I want you to create a picture, a compelling picture in your mind of them sitting in that church row next to you. Come on. We need a vision, church. We need a vision. We need a compelling picture of what we want this church to look like in the future. I want every saint of God in this house to see this church as emboldened, empowered. Come on, not just full of churchgoers, but full of people that are reaching out. I want this church to look like an octopus. Tentacles just reaching out everywhere, pulling people out of sin. Come on in here to the hub. Come on in here to the filling station. Come on in here where the Holy Ghost is moving. Come out of that lifestyle. God can do you much better than that lifestyle's doing you. That's what we want this church to look like. Come on, but it's going to take a uniform vision and a uniform burden to create disciples. Get into the lives of people. Love them. Teach them. And it's going to take us living godly before them. I want you to have a vision for this church that says, if I can just get my friend to the house of God, I know the Lord's going to get a hold of him. I want you to have a vision for this church that says, if I could just convince my lost husband to come to church with me one time, man, the Holy Ghost is going to get him. That's what kind of church culture I want here. I want a people that loves people, that loves God's people, that loves lost souls, wants to train them and teach them and work with them and cast a vision in their life and create something that they'll wrestle until they get their blessing. We want to create disciples that are going to make it to heaven, not ones that are going to turn back. Come on, church. This church needs to be more than a place you visit on Wednesday and on Tuesday. This church needs to be more than that to you. You need to care about the people that are in here. You need to love them. You need to pray for them. You need to embrace them. We need a strong church culture in this place today. We need a clear vision, a clear pathway to heaven. We need a river to flow and be harnessed by its boundaries. Come on, we need to be holy as he is holy. This vision must go beyond Sunday and Tuesday. Will the people perish? Will the people perish? No, they won't. If we, the church, takes the gospel and the vision to them. Will they perish? No, they won't. Will they let go down? Will they go back? No, they won't. If we establish a vision and a burden, and if we teach them the plan of salvation and how to be saved, let's love the Lord all.